Hey, good morning, Rev City family. How are we doing today? Who's grateful to be in the house of God in the new year? Grateful to be in the presence of God with the people of God. Do me a favor, look to your left or your right, greet someone, and maybe just go ahead and tell them Happy New Year. It's going to be a great year, and it'll buy me a moment to say welcome to those of you joining us on the online platform. Grateful for you tuning in with us today to worship the Lord and grow together in our faith from Kansas to Kenya. Many people on the online platform tuning in. Just fun encouragement to us as a church family. The team emailed me some numbers this week. Our Christmas Eve service globally was viewed over 2.2 million times. Isn't that amazing? Right from Lawrence, Kansas, how many people were reached? And it really was a special service. If you didn't have a chance to be here or check it out, I want to encourage you to go back and check it out. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope that one way or the other you do, whether you have old school paper Bible or you're following along in the Rev City app or YouVersion app, turn to Ephesians chapter 3 or Luke chapter 5. We'll touch on Ephesians 3, and then we'll dig into a little bit deeper into Luke chapter 5. It's one of my favorite moments to preach in the new year, one of my favorite messages to bring. There are just open hearts as we turn the calendar to a new year, as we reflect on what has been, and we look forward to what God is going to do in our lives. We remember the things that he was faithful in, even in the midst of challenges. And it's just inevitably true in any of our lives of faith. There's almost always some things that are going well. There's almost always some struggles, some adversity, some opposition that we're facing. And so a new year represents an opportunity to reflect, a time to regroup, a time to reorient, a time to rededicate ourselves to God. And I want to encourage you that the number one resolution you can make, and there's some good resolutions we can make, but the number one resolution we can make is more of God in our lives, more of Jesus in our lives. And that's where Ephesians 3:20, which is a foundational scripture for the vision of our church family. Project 3:20 is anchored to Ephesians 3:20. And Project 3:20 is the 3 to 20 year vision. There's a booklet I believe in the seat back that you could take and just begin to just kind of immerse yourself in what God is inviting us to be and do and accomplish together as a church family. And the anchor scripture is Ephesians 3:20. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more, your translation might even say infinitely more, than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout the generations forever and ever. Amen. And so God's heart and his part is to do the more, but we have a part to play, to ask, to think, to imagine. And there's no better time than the turning of the calendar to kind of just reflect, just pause, and just begin to say, what am I believing God for in this new year? What am I trusting God for? What am I hoping for, praying for, asking for? What am I thinking about, imagining? What's possible in my life of faith? And so before we dig in further to God's word, let's pray and let's just ask him to give us grace, to give us faith, to behold this invitation, to begin to ask, to think, to imagine what's possible as we put God first in this new year, as we ask and seek for more of his presence and his promises in our lives. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the privilege and the honor of encouraging your people with your heart and your word today, God. And we thank you for your faithfulness in the previous year, Lord, and because we've seen you to be faithful, even in the midst of adversity and challenges, Lord, we thank you that we're still standing. And some of the things that the enemy intended to take us out, we're defeated by, Lord, just your goodness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace towards us, God. And I pray, Lord, that in this moment, there would be just a special grace from the Holy Spirit to hear from you, Lord, to reflect, to remember well, Lord, to not linger on some of the adversity, Lord, but to remind ourselves and to cling tightly to, Lord, the ways that you were faithful to us. And I pray that it would inspire, Lord, fresh faith for the future, Lord, for the way forward. I pray that over every man, every woman, over every son, over every daughter, over every marriage, over every family, over every heart in this room and all those precious people joining us online, Lord, we thank you that what we sing about today is more than a song. It's an anchor scripture in your word. You have good plans for us, a hope-filled future for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the grace to walk into it, God, in this new season. In Jesus' name and all God's people said. So there's a more that God has in store. Here's what I understand, though. To experience the more that God has in store, we have to be willing to embrace the new that he's calling us to. And a new year does not guarantee new results. Many of us will make resolutions. 92% of them will be abandoned by Valentine's Day. And so I've encouraged us with this before. We tend to make do goals, things we want to strive to do better, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think maybe the better resolution to make it over a do goal is a who goal. Who do I want to be? Who do I want to become? And maybe even more importantly, who do I want to, in a redetermined way, commit to garner my strength, my grace from more of Jesus in my life? And so there's more that God has in store for you. And we tend to all say amen. I think I could get you to say amen if I asked you, do you want more of God in your life in 2026? Amen. So it's easy for us to realize and recognize that we want more of God in our life. But again, to receive the more he has in store, I've learned inevitably, we almost always have to be willing to say yes to the new that he's calling us to. And that's where the challenge lies, right? Are we willing to think differently? Are we willing to prioritize some things differently in our lives? Are we willing to schedule some things differently? Are we willing to commit ourselves? Are we willing to do the work? Are we willing to extend the forgiveness? Are we willing to do the new thing that God desires for us to do? The new he's calling us to so we can walk in the more that he has in store. Jesus addresses this in Luke chapter 5. And here's what he says in verse 37. He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. And so what Jesus is saying is that God wants to deliver some new things to us in this new season, this new year, but he says you're going to have to create and build some new mindsets, some new vessels, some new patterns, some new determinations, some new habits, some new decisions, some new commitments. New wine represents fresh joy, peace, rest, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, friendship with the Lord, friendship and fellowship with God's people. Wineskins represent patterns, commitments, priorities, mindsets, habits, daily decisions, and disciplines. And so let me encourage you with this idea of making some new decisions, some new commitments, some new determinations. And there's power in daily decision. And so it is important that we have a vision for our life. Proverbs 29:18 says it this way, where there is no vision, people perish. Another translation of the same scripture says that where there is no prophetic vision, no revelation, people are unrestrained. And so what that means is that, in fact, another translation actually says people run wild. And so what it's saying is, if you don't have something that you're going for, that you're aiming for, a mark, a prize, a goal, a race that God has outlined for you to run towards, to keep your eyes fixed upon, he says, we have a tendency to just kind of go with the flow. And can I tell you, going with the flow in the culture of the day will not call you and cause you to be closer to God. You gotta make intentional, determined decision. And there's power in daily decision. God honors daily decision. Joshua 24:15, Joshua's saying to the people, he says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. In other words, he said, you could serve the old things, the previous patterns, the old disciplines and old moments in your life. He said, or you can serve the present day moment, kind of the condition and the culture, the go with the flow, the popular trends. He said, you could get connected to either one of those things. But then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's power in daily determination and decision. Young people, can I encourage you with something? One of the common things that I hear is just, what's God's will for my life? Where should I go? Who should I marry? What school should I go to? Can I tell you, God will lead you into that vision by the power of daily decision. Just make one God-honoring decision at a time and watch how it connects you to the purposes, plans, and will of God for your life. Daily decisions. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself, for this day has enough trouble of its own. So there's an importance to having a vision for your life. We established that. But the pathway to your life's vision is always paved with daily decision. Who am I going to serve today? And even within that day, in this moment, in this interaction, in this conversation, in this decision or direction with the things that God has entrusted you to steward. And so let me encourage you with something. This is good news for anyone who feels like you've lost your way or gotten so far off track, because the enemy comes and tries to convince us that we're too far lost, it's too far gone, it's too late, that ship has sailed. And can I tell you that that is not true with God? That if you'll begin to just one day, one moment, one decision, make a godly determination and a decision, that it has a tendency to become a cascading series of events that gets you back on track and connects you to the plans, purposes, the hope-filled future that God has for you. Someone say amen. Amen. It's never too late to do the right thing. Zechariah 4 verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." So who am I encouraging today to just make one godly decision today? Who am I encouraging today that maybe you feel like you're just too far lost, too far gone, it's overwhelming, it's insurmountable, you can never get back on track? Just today, just say, "God, today I'm gonna honor you with my life, with my words, with my thoughts, with my hands, with what you've entrusted to me." There's power in daily decision. Daily decisions made consistently develop disciplines. And here's the unfortunate truth is that this works good and bad. Unfortunately, we begin to kind of get into some negative decisions or mindsets or words or actions that we could look up, and those negative decisions have become habits or disciplines in our life. Now turn to 2 Kings chapter 13, one of my favorite passages. I got to move quickly because I got a lot of my heart to share with you today. But it's a story of Elisha, and it says in verse 14, when Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots, I see the charioteers of Israel. And this was kind of religious, grandiose thing to say, right? And Elisha told him, verse 15, "Get a bow and some arrows." And the king did as he was told. And Elisha told him, "Put your hand on the bow." And Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, "Open the eastern window," and he opened it. Then he said, "Shoot," and he shot an arrow. And Elisha proclaimed, "This is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek." Then he said, "Now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground." So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. Now catch this, the man of God was angry with him. "You should have struck the ground five or six times," he exclaimed. "Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times." In other words, you'll only receive partially what God intended to do in your life. Well, this kind of seems unfair, right? Because did the man of God give him a specific number of times to strike the ground? No, he didn't. And so it kind of seems unfair, but I believe what it speaks to us, what it illustrates for us today, is that when God encourages you with something, when he puts something in your hand, when he calls you to something, when you get a revelation from God's word, he says, just keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't go home. Don't grow weary of doing the good thing that God has called you to do, because in due season, if you don't grow weary and you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. And so I think that he saw something in Jehoash's heart. He saw this tendency to kind of go through the motions or do something when people were watching, but then there was not going to be this perseverance, this commitment, this enduring faithfulness to consistently do what God had called him to do. And can I tell you what I've learned in my life of faith and what I've experienced over my years of pastoring is that people who do extraordinary things in their life of faith, in their marriage, in their finances, in their fitness, spiritually, physically, people that do extraordinary things do consistently what others do occasionally. You want to have a great marriage? Do consistently what other people do occasionally. You want to build a great life of faith? I mean, really, where you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit, friendship with the Lord, and just a security in your heart that comes from knowing you have a good Heavenly Father and you belong to him and you are a son or a daughter, do consistently what other people do occasionally. Be found in the house of God. Come hell or high water, rain or shine. And I'm not saying it's not legalism. There's a few times a year we ought to get away and go on vacation or take a Sunday off and just spend time as a family. But I mean, That should be the exception, not the rule. Be found in the house of God. And it's not self-serving. I promise you, people who do consistently what other people do occasionally build extraordinary lives of faith, marriages, families, finances, fitness, whatever it is that God's calling you to. Do it consistently. Whatever, God, the word you have, we're always consumed with a new word, a fresh word. That's fine. That's good. I think you ought to seek God for a new word, a fresh word. But some of us, the breakthrough lies in just continuing to do consistently what we already have apprehended, what God's called us to do, to love, to serve, to give, to forgive. Just keep doing it. And watch how it will get you to the pathway to the vision that God has for your life is paved with daily decision. Commit yourself. God delights to see the work begin. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Commit yourself to the little things, the things that seem unimportant or insignificant. I'm telling you, they're important to God. Luke 16:10, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much is another way that scripture is translated. And I'm reminded of, some of you maybe saw it, it went viral a few years ago, of the commencement address that Admiral McRaven gave at the University of Texas to those Texas Longhorns down in my home state of Texas. And the title of the commencement address was this: make your bed. And some of you remember it went viral a few years ago. And he kept pointing back to this, just the idea of when you get up in the morning, make your bed. And I know that there's two types of people. There are bed makers and there are those who refuse to make your bed. What's the point, right? And typically, you are one and you're married to the other, right? And so this is not about legalism about this, but this is a point that he established. He said, if you start your day with a small victory, it doesn't matter how your day goes, you can always point back and know, I started my day with a small victory, and you'll come home to a bed that is made and prepped and prepared for you to throw back those covers and jump into it after a long, hard day, right? So small things, faithfulness with the little things. And maybe some of you, that needs to be a resolution for you, but there's a principle, there's a point. What's the hidden thing, the unseen thing that God has called you to do, that you know you ought to do, that you haven't been doing? Because the pathway to the new, the next, and the more of God is faithfulness with the now of God. I've got another little sticky statement to introduce to you today. The pathway to greatness that is seen by many faces is faithfulness with the things in hidden places. And we tend to worry about what is seen and what is heard, what people can see and have access to. The pathway to greatness that is seen by many faces is faithfulness with the things in hidden places. And so in your faith, in your family, in your finances, in your fitness, those are four things that I'm focusing on as we go into this new year. Faith, family, finances, fitness. There's a lot of things that just kind of are connected to those four things that fall underneath those four categories. In your faith, in your relationship with Jesus, what decision, what discipline, what determination, what dedication or rededication can you make that is your part to prepare a wineskin so that God can bring fresh wine in your life? Just ask him. I mean, really ask him. This is a season, church. I just have it in my heart. I'm telling you, I have a sense of excitement about what God desires to do in and through and for us in this new year. And I'm telling you, it's not wishful thinking. It's not just optimism that I'm kind of dredged up. I'm telling you, I have a sense of excitement in my spirit for what God wants to do in and through you and I, individually and collectively in this new year. And can you sense it? And if you can't sense it, or maybe you kind of have a foreboding sense about what the new year holds, can I encourage you today to allow this moment and to allow what I'm encouraging you with from God's heart and God's word to begin to stir some fresh faith and some fresh hope for your life, for your future, for what God has in store for you in your life of faith? What decision or discipline can you just commit yourself? Just the one thing. Don't allow yourself to be concerned about, I got to do this and this and this and that. What's one thing that God might show you? Maybe it's downloading the Rev City app, just beginning to engage with our daily devotionals. Maybe it's taking that 21 days of prayer and fasting card that's in the seat back in front of you, and in a new way or a fresh way, committing yourself, not trusting that other people are gonna do their part to pray and see these things come to pass. I'm gonna be involved. I'm gonna be a part of it. Maybe it's dusting off your Bible or committing to not just touch it on Sundays or Wednesdays, but every morning, every day, every evening before you go to bed, being found in the Word of God. Becoming filled with the promises of God in your marriage. What decision or discipline or determination can you make? Just one thing, maybe praying together every day, maybe redetermining to schedule date nights. And can I encourage you, if you're too busy for God or too busy for those things, you're too busy. And too oftentimes we get so consumed with urgent things that cause us to miss out on the important things. That's a good word right there. Some of us are so consumed with the urgent things, the things that are pressing us. And we're giving our time and our attention or our affection to those things, and it's causing us to miss out on the important things. And in this new year, can we just commit ourselves? God, if it matters to you, it needs to matter to me. And I'll jump off the hamster wheel of going round and round and round with all the things the world says I gotta hurry and hustle and do and be about, to slow down a little bit and make sure I'm giving my heart and my attention to what matters to you. Because if it matters to God, it should matter to us. In your faith, in your family, in your finances, one decision, one discipline to make, maybe to make or adhere to a budget. Maybe it is, like Kendall encouraged us with, to begin to honor the Lord with the first fruits of your finances. Begin to tithe. Begin to give generously. Begin to trust God in a new way or a fresh way, and just watch the, him keep his word and show up and give you a testimony. In your fitness, and this speaks to spiritual and physical, because our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. There's some fitness goals that I have spiritually and physically. What's one decision or determination or discipline that you could just commit yourself to that would cause you to look up and just say, I'm spiritually more healthy, I'm physically more healthy than I was last year because I just recommitted myself to just one thing. So now I got those four F's that we just touched on. Now I've got four C's that I want to encourage you with, and these are four things that we need to avoid if we are going to walk into the more that God has in store. Every time I preach, there's three things that I always have in my heart that I want to partner with Jesus to accomplish, because he said that he came to do these three things. He came to seek and save the lost. I always want to have an evangelistic component to whatever message it is that the Lord's put on my heart, that I would partner with the Lord to seek and save someone that's lost and far from God. He said, I came to give you abundant life. And then he also said that I came to destroy the works of the enemy. And so these are four works of the enemy that can hold us back or hinder us from beholding and experiencing the new that God has for us, the more that he has in store for us. Number one is comparison. And can I set you free today? The only person you are called to be better than this year is the person you were last year. Amen. So stop comparing yourself to other people, to other Christians, to other people in your workplace, and please quit comparing yourself to other people on social media. You only see their overly filtered image that they want you to see. You don't see all the outtakes and the mistakes. So let's just jump off that hamster wheel of comparison, because comparison really is the thief of joy and the initiator of pride. Galatians 6 in the Message translation says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given, and sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself, and don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. The New Living Translation of the same verse says, pay careful attention to your own work, and then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. The only person you're called to be better than in 2026 is who you were in 2025. And can I encourage you, that's a good goal to have. Beyond the things that you can do different or better, like I opened with, who can you be and become? Because there really, this new year, what it holds for you, there really are only three options. There's only three options. You'll be stuck where you're at, you'll be further from God, or you'll be closer to God. And I don't know about you, but for me, there's only one of those that I want to be my story in 2026. That I'd grow closer and go deeper to the Lord, that I'd become more aware of, that I'd be holding on to, that I would be speaking and declaring the word of God, the promises of God over my life, over my heart, over my marriage, over my kids, over you guys, over us as a church family. So let's break free of the temptation to compare. Number two, let's avoid complaining. And I preached on it a little bit more in depth a couple of weeks ago, But in Numbers chapter 14, we read that because the people grumbled and complained, they said, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. They said, we should choose a new leader. Maybe we should go back to Egypt. And verse 28 of that same chapter says that God showed up to Moses and said, go back and tell the people that I'll give them exactly what I heard them say. And it's exactly what they got. So when we go through, they had some real challenges, right? They had some real adversity, real opposition. Those things are gonna come in 2026. I just promise you, Jesus didn't promise us a worry-free, hassle-free life. He said, you're gonna have some things, unforeseen, unexpected. You're gonna have some troubles. But he did say, but be of good cheer when you experience those things because I've overcome the world. So when we get into those moments, those storms in life in this upcoming year, let's avoid the temptation to want to begin to grumble and complain. Let's be found like Joshua and Caleb. Let's have a different spirit. Let's begin to say, I might have some problems, but I got a God that's bigger than my problems. Let's make this determination this year. You hear this little statement, under the circumstances. Can I encourage you to break free of that? Let's make a decision, a determination in advance. We will not live under our circumstances. We will, because we have God with us, for us, that'll never leave us and forsake us, we'll soar above the problems, we'll soar above the storms. Can I encourage you, the Apostle Paul wrote the books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon from prison. So he had some hard days, right? But he didn't let those days keep him down from pursuing the purposes of God in his life. David faced those lions and bears and tigers, oh my. And that's a bad day. How many know we tend to sterilize that story? Can I tell you, when you gotta fight a lion off, that's a bad day. That's the day, you don't get up thinking like, what do I have on my agenda today? I gotta fight a lion. That wasn't how the day was supposed to go. And you know what he says in the story of David and Goliath? He says, my God rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. Because I think we tend to just like picture it with him just like wrestling the bear or lion or whatever and winning the wrestling match and the bear kind of skimpering off back into the, no, he had the claws were in him. And he probably had scars that told the story of how what the enemy used to try to keep him from moving forward towards his destiny, God had preserved him. And it's what gave him the faith to say, who is this Philistine that's mocking our God? And he said, I'll go take care of it. And they mocked him and they laughed at him. And he said, you don't understand. The lion and the bear came into the camp. And God showed me how he was faithful to deliver me. And he'll do the same thing. You got some lions? You got some bears coming after you? Some of you think you're in trouble. You're really in training for the giant that God is preparing you to slay in 2026. So let's not compare. Let's not complain. When we run into some trouble, let's say, God, thank you. You're using this to train my faith and to train my hands for the future victory that you have for me. Number three is complacency. Let's refuse to be complacent. Let's be content. Let's be content. There's a difference between being content and being complacent. I'm content. God does not owe me a single thing in my life. If he did not one more miracle in my life, he's done plenty. So I am thankful. I am grateful. I am content, but I am contending for the future things, for the greater things that God has for me, the immeasurably more that he has in store. And we tend to grow complacent for one of several reasons. One is small-mindedness. Two is fear of failure. Or three is actually our present tense success and the comfort that we're living in right now. And we just kind of settle in. And can I tell you, let's refuse to allow any of those things to hinder us or hold us back from contending for the more in the midst of being content with what God has done and who he is in our life. There's a more that he has in store for you. There's a version of you, man of God, that only God has seen. You're yet to be introduced to on the other side of contending, of refusing to be complacent, of breaking out. I want to encourage you today. Let's break through the limitations of limited expectations in this new year, because we serve the God of greater things. He says, enlarge the place of your tent, Isaiah 54. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen your stakes. You will spread abroad to the right and to the left. Your offspring will possess the nations. Your people will possess desolate cities. Fear not. You will not be ashamed. Do not be confounded, for you will not be disgraced. He says it's going to take some faith to step out and step into some of these things, to break free of the complacency, the small-mindedness. He says, don't have fear of failure. Know that I'm going to be with you. I don't know what 2026 holds, but I know what God said to Joshua. Every place your foot shall tread, I'll be with you. He's going to be with you. Let's break free of the limitations of small expectations. Let's dig deep. Let's draw near. Let's grow closer. Red letter words, Luke 6, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep. Someone say, dig deep. And lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters rise, break against the house, not if, but when, by the way, it stands firm because it is well built. It's time to dig deep. I just have this sense of excitement. There really is something new, something more that God wants to do in your life. Some of you have served the Lord for decades, and I have a sense he's not through with you. Some of you, this is your moment. This is a moment in time that you're going to look back to. See, that was the year that we grew closer to God like we never had before. We went deeper with God than we ever had before. We got connected to the people of God like we never had before. And we began to make those daily decisions and determinations, breaking free of the complacency of our present success or the small-mindedness or the fear of failure, and running towards what God has for us. Number 4 is, and we'll close right here, is condemnation. There's no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are found in Christ Jesus. And it's one of the number one things that keeps us from believing that God really has a plan, a hope-filled future for us, because we're more familiar with our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our addictions and dependencies, our mistakes and missteps, than we are with the promises of God. And I'm telling you, if you're found in Christ Jesus, and if you're not, today's the day for you to be found in Christ Jesus. I'll give you that opportunity here in a moment. There is zero condemnation for you. There's a voice of conviction that leads us out of some things and gets us back on track and keeps us on track. But there's zero condemnation. The Apostle Paul said, what a wretched man am I, in Romans 7. You turn the page to Romans 8, and he says, I'm more than a conqueror, which is true, both. The Apostle Paul was clearly aware of how quickly he could become wretched if he wasn't leaning into, relying upon, depending upon, daily pursuing the person of the Holy Spirit, leaning into the grace of God, drawing his strength from the presence of God. But when we do that, when we commit ourselves, make that decision, that determination, there's a life. You're more than a conqueror. You're victorious in Christ. And when you stumble, like the Bible says, even a righteous person does 7 times, you get back up and you keep moving, because the mercies of God are new every morning. And I'll close right here. There's an entire message I preach about these passages right here. But I just felt led to just allow it to lead us into our salvation call today. The Apostle Paul said that I've not obtained this, I haven't figured it out, I haven't arrived at it. But he said, I press on to take hold of what Jesus Christ has taken a hold of me for. And he said, dear brothers and sisters, I haven't achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. If the Apostle Paul was focusing on one thing, we ought to count it as important for us to focus on. He said, this one thing, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. He said, I press on to the goal, the mark, the prize, the finish line, the destination. the resolution, the resolve, the commitment. I'm pressing towards that thing. I'm forgetting the past and I'm pressing towards those things. And you got to catch this powerful revelation from Romans chapter 8 and from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul says, who shall separate us, verse 31, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sore? And he says, no, in all those things, when you go through those things, he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, did you catch something? He said, neither the present nor the future can separate us. Did you notice what's missing? The past. He didn't address the past. He said, neither the present nor the future. So then this gets even better. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, I don't want to hear any of you bragging about yourself, anyone else. Everything is already yours as a gift. He's talking about all the spiritual inheritance, these gifts that we have, every good and perfect thing that comes from above. And he says, these things are yours. They belong to you. Paul, Apollos, Peter, the world, life, death, the present, and the future, all of it is yours. And you're privileged to be in union with Christ, who is in union with God. Once again, we see, he says, the present and the future, he says, they belong to you. What's noticeably missing? The past. The present, the future, they can't separate you from the love of God that you have in Christ Jesus. The present and the future, they belong to you. Why is this important? Because here's what I've learned and experienced in my life of faith, and I've seen it time and time and time again. That if we hold on to the past, remember the Apostle Paul said, there's one thing. I'm forgetting what's behind. It really happened, but I'm forgetting it. I'm moving on. There's a new day. There's a new promise. There's a destiny, a hope-filled future. There's a place of purpose and promise God has for me. It really happened. I'm not going to carry it with me. And it's one of the hallmarks of spiritual maturity, understanding what we need to leave in 2025 and what we need to make sure that we fiercely cling to and take with us, the hope, the promise, the relationship, the word of God. And he says the past, the future and the present can't keep you. But the past, if you hang on to the past, it can hinder you. And he says, the present and the future belong to you. They're a gift from God to you. Why is the past missing? Because it does not belong to you. What do you mean? It was purchased. It belongs. There was a transaction that took place. The Bible says that you were purchased, not with gold and silver. You were ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and all of your past, every sin, every regret, every mistake, no longer belongs to you. It was purchased by the blood of Christ. So quit hanging on to it. Quit trying to go back and hang on to it. Leave it in 2025. Leave it at this altar today. One of the hallmarks of spiritual maturity is recognizing what do I need to leave and let go? What do I need to fiercely cling to and hang on to? The hope that I have in Jesus, the promises I have in his word. Would you stand to your feet today? And as you stand, would you ask the Holy Spirit, as has become our custom in our house, just ask him, say, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? What are you speaking to me today? And then just listen. Just listen to whatever it is he's speaking to you. He's inviting you to get out of the trap of comparison. He's inviting you to break free of the complacency, the fear of the failure, the fear of the future. He's inviting you to encounter fresh faith. He's inviting you to recalibrate your priorities, to break free of always being pressed by what's most urgent, to begin to focus on what is most important. Your relationship with God, your spouse, your kids, your church family, in the midst of all the other things God's called you to do, just to reorder those things in this new year. Because sometimes it's not wrong things, it's just right things in wrong order. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I just bless this church family. I bless them into this new year, God. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace, Lord, to embrace the new that you're calling us to so that we can experience the more that you have in store. I thank you, Lord, for new wineskins, God. I thank you for new decisions, determinations, commitments, new priorities, God. Determinations and decisions, God. I thank you, Lord, that people who thought it was too late, too far gone, Lord, that you're just inviting them to just take one step back towards you, one daily decision that is God-honoring, and just watch how it just cascades into a life that is reconnected to the purposes and plans of God, to the heart of God. Thank you, Jesus. Just continue to stay in that posture of just prayer and reflection and allow me to give people the opportunity to take the one step today that changes everything forever. And it's responding to the free gift of salvation. That's the language of the Bible. It's a free gift that we receive by faith, the grace of God. You don't get good to get God. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't strive for it. You receive it. And it begins to change the way you live because it's a free gift. And so if that's you today, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in his completed work. Or maybe you're here today or joining us online and you need to come back to living for God. Maybe you once did, but you've drifted, got caught up with those cares and concerns of the world, made some bad decisions, got with the wrong crowd, whatever it is. If you're honest with yourself today, however it happened, you're far from God. And if that's you today, there's good news. Jesus told a story about someone like you. When he told that story, that parable about the prodigal son, the wayward one who came to his dad, said, "Dad, give me what's mine." And he went out and lived according to the ways of the world. And like it's inevitably true, he found himself at the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. And the Bible says, as Jesus tells the story, he came to his senses. He said, "What am I doing out here?" And some of you are having that revelation right now. Man, what am I doing trying to live the way of the world? And it says he came to his senses and he said, "Maybe, just maybe, my dad will welcome me home as a servant." And he got up and he began to make that journey. And it says the father saw him from a long ways off. And why is that important? Because here's what it implies to us today, that the father was always looking for, hoping for, longing for, praying for, eagerly anticipating, expecting that moment when that wayward one would just make a step. And the rest of the story is this: he chased him down, he ran to him, welcomed him, embraced him, and restored him, not just as a servant, but as a son, fully restored as a son or a daughter. So that's the heart of the Father towards you, and that's the posture of the Father towards you if that's where you find yourself today. And so right now, here's the step I want you to take if you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between. And there's never a bad time to make this decision, but there may be no better time than going into a new year to get right with God, to say yes to Jesus, to come back home. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, here's the step I want to ask you to take right now without delay. Lift your hand as high and as fast and as far towards heaven as you can. Reach out to receive that free gift. Reach out to acknowledge, "I need to come home to my Heavenly Father." Thank you, Lord, for what these outstretched hands represent. It's an outward sign of an inward work, Lord, that you're doing in people's hearts, chasing them down with your radical love, your amazing grace. And right now, Lord, you're washing people clean. You're making people new. The Bible says all the old things are passing away right now. You're becoming a new creation. You're being born again. You're getting a fresh start, a new lease on life. Lord, thank you for this today. Thank you, Father, for it, God. If you raised your hand, you can lower it. And here's what we want to do today is ask you to take a second step and pray a prayer. But we are not going to ask you to pray it alone. We're going to pray it with you as a sign of support to you and for you. And it's the first way of many ways that we'll come alongside you and support you if you'll let us. And it also reminds us every week as we pray this prayer collectively that we never graduate from grace. So come on, with some amazing sons and daughters, with some future leaders in God's house that came back to God, or that received that free gift, let's pray this prayer with some fresh boldness today. Come on, repeat after me. Say, "Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, I will never be the same. And then rejoice with all of heaven. Yeah, we're gonna worship one more time briefly together. But I just wanna close by just reiterating what I already encouraged you with. I have a unique sense of excitement about what this year has in store for us, for you. And would you lean into that? And in fact, I know I already prayed for you. They'll pray over us as they dismiss you, but I just wanna pray for you before I step off. Lord, give us the grace and the faith to believe and receive that there is a more, infinitely more, that you have in store for us. Help us to ask, to think, to imagine, to dream, to pray, to plan, to prepare our hearts, to behold it and to walk into it and to steward it in this new year in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, hey, let's worship the Lord one more time and then we'll come dismiss you. God bless you.